order.
I've heard it.
Let's do a roll call.
Chair Collins?
Here.
Deputy Chair Corcoran is not here. Legislator Clinton?
Here.
Legislator Harmon?
Here.
Legislator Stewart, Legislator Kitchen is not here. Legislator McCullough?
Yeah.
Legislator Stewart is not here.
Okay.
You have quorum.
Thank you. We have no previous meeting minutes to approve because this is the first meeting. So we'll just get on to the calling the meeting to order. Resolution 16. Establishing a policy requiring warming center facilities be established and operated in the southern half of Ulster County. Minority Leader Robert, would like to speak on this? That's your resolution.
Yeah, thank you. And congratulations on your new position.
Thank you.
Chairman of this brand new committee. And I'm kind of honored that this is the first resolution we're going to be talking about in your new committee. This idea came, actually, you know, we talked about it last year somewhat, but I got to give Legislator Clinton a lot of credit. She came up to me the prior month and said, hey, let's work on that warming center. There's definitely a need. I said, I'll have my attorney write something up, and he did. And we talked to Legislator Harmon. She looked at it, said she wants in too. And I think Legislator Sperry, all legislators used to be when I first got here, all the legislators in the southern part were Republicans, not anymore. So we have to have bipartisan stuff to get things done in the South. I'm glad they're on board. This resolution sets a policy to require a warming center in the southern half. Preferably, we didn't name New Paltz per se, but that would be an ideal location. It doesn't say it needs to be 20 beds, 10 beds, 15 beds. It doesn't say it has to be at this location. It just says, hey, let's get it done. And that's what we want.
Okay. And as you know, there's a potential agreement to have a warming center in Warsing.
Great.
Which is not satisfying exactly what is wanted by this motion, right? Is that correct? This
resolution?
That's correct.
Is there a way to modify this resolution to accommodate the Warsing plan and also a New Paltz centered plan? Is there an idea of how to make that amendment? To be more clear, to actually
I think the word and is really helpful.
Okay. Yeah, I would say and, not or. I think it would have to be very specific that it would be both, not either or, because the Warsing does not meet the needs of the southern portion of the county.
Okay. Portion is, to me, southern means everything below Woodstock. So you have to define things better.
Probably it'd be easier to get Kingston than it would be
to get to the Warsing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. From the New Paltz area.
Absolutely. Without question. Absolutely.
Okay. But New Paltz does, I'm sorry, Warsing or Ellenville does satisfy a need.
Absolutely.
Separate from
correct.
Okay. So we actually have three needs we're talking about. The northern one, which is in Kingston, the center southern one, which is New Paltz, and the southern one, which is in Ellenville.
Yeah,
the
western.
Western. Okay, western.
Yeah,
western. Yeah, the need in this particular instance is really dictated by the geography, right?
Okay.
So the ridge, if you don't have a car or don't have it's an uncrossable barrier.
Okay.
Right. So anything on the western side of the ridge is on the western side of the ridge. Then you've got the northern end of the county, and then you have the southern end of the county on the eastern side of the ridge. And I think that really is, those are three lands within our county.
Okay. Do we need to make amendments here, or can we leave it the way it is, in your feeling?
I would be satisfied with a friendly amendment to it if that helps the county executive's office or if you want to do a separate one next month with Warsing, I'm good with that too.
Deputy Executive Contreras.
Is there a time frame on this? Because one of the things I just wanted to say was that yes, we're very close to being able to stand up a warming center in Warsing, hopefully. It seems like it's headed in a good direction, but it's taken us a few years to get to that point. And I want to acknowledge Commissioner Iposi, who's here, who 2 years ago, I think, made 10 separate trips down to Ellenville to try to find a location, and to try to find a location for the warming center. And it's been a lot of work with different parties to try to get the location, try to get a provider, try to get a local partner. And so I just want to kind of put that out there in terms of expectation setting. And then the other question is on if you have any sense of the numbers of the need. We're still waiting on our point in time count to get a sense of how many people from that area would use a warming center. So looking at the numbers from the one in Kingston, we have like 61 people from Kingston and 6 or 7 people from Ellenville and like a handful more from the southern part. So that's just something that I think would be important for us when we're figuring out where to allocate resources.
So I know that Village Trustee Stana Weisberg has been deeply involved mm-hmm. in this on the ground, and I believe came to meet with Laura Nordstrom. So, you know, I think that communication has already begun.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that there are plenty of people who are highly motivated to get this done in that southeastern
mm-hmm.
Part of the county. So, and there is a pretty significant mm-hmm. hidden need there. There are people living in the woods along the rail trail. There are people, it is very, very real. So I will certainly take back that we're looking for something like a hard number or as close to it as we can get.
Just would be helpful, yeah, to get a sense of that.
But there are partners, right? So
in the location too, because I think she had said in her email that there is no facility, and which is a huge deal. Like for us having the Hunt Memorial Correct. Building, which is already a shelter, has still taken time to get all the approvals to be able to use it, but it exists. So that's a huge factor.
There are facilities that are willing, but they would need support, financial support, to retool their space. I think that you could get a coalition together if there were some sort of help to purchase a space, because there are spaces that I can think of right off the top of my head that would be ideal locations. But no private entity has the you know, like no individual church, let's say, since that's my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't go buy one of those to meet that need, even if that were our greatest wish. So you have motivated people.
Mm-hmm.
You have available space that is unattainable to those motivated people. And we have a need. That feels like a thing that we can, therefore, put our heads together.
Yeah, I think the need piece will be very important to figure out all this.
So I have a proposed friendly amendment. Let me go ahead, Legislator McCullough.
I love warming centers. There's one in my district that I go to very often, and I'm very happy with the way they're doing things. The program, it's not just a place to sleep. They have programs come in, talk, information. Where I'm coming from is I love warming centers, but at some point we need to talk about shelters. Something, because warming centers, when the weather changes over, the same people that are unhoused are right back in the streets. It's nice that they have a place for the winter, but we have to become more better for the people to have something.
Proactive.
Yeah, we need something, not just warming centers at some point. So I just want to put that out there.
And the warming centers could be used. You don't have to be homeless to take advantage of the warming. You could have a personal emergency, your heating or whatever can go out for the weekend, or and you need a place to bring your family. So it serves more than just one purpose than, you know, a long-term problem.
So here's my suggested friendly amendment. Title would be Establishing a Policy Requiring a Warming Center Facility be established and operated in Warsing and in the southern half of the Ulster County. And then in the fourth, whereas those persons in need of a warming center outside the city of Kingston area, and particularly those persons located in Warsing or the southern half of Ulster County, which area is generally defined as the portion of the county south of Route 299, including but not limited to the towns of New Paltz, Lloyd, Marlborough, Plattekill, Gardner, and Schwamgunk, require warming center facilities in closer proximity than one
you think that's supposed to be reversed.
No wonder I can't read it because I'm trying to read it. Then the one remote location in the city of Kingston. Okay, so that just adds Worsing Or to that clause. So it's Worsing Or, so I'm adding Worsing Or to what you guys have written. And then in the last whereas, basically the same thing. Instead of saying established and operated in the southern half of Ulster County, established and operated in both Worsing and the southern half of Ulster County.
Perfect on that one.
Then the last one, the resolved, basically is the same thing. Be established and operated in Worsing and the southern half of the county as heretofore defined and described. So basically what we're calling for is one in Worsing, which we know is likely to happen, and one in the southern half, which is defined as east of the ridge in those towns.
That's fine. I think the deputy county executive wants to add it.
Can you make a suggestion? Because it's a very specific place, and we're almost, I'm pretty sure, I'm hopeful that that will be approved, but what if they change, you know, next year? Okay. They don't, you know, I don't want to say that we've required them to have one per se. Can we say southern and western? So that it's, and it's not just Worsing to the list of list that is spelled out.
Yeah. I think Western and Southeastern. It's, you know, for clarity when people are like, yeah, but South is South.
Right.
Is that okay with y'all?
Perfect.
Okay. So
how do you want this to read it now?
Let's start with establishing a policy requiring a warming center be established in and operated in both the southern half and the, what's the other term, western?
Southwestern.
Southwestern portion of Ulster County.
Yeah. How about southwestern and southeastern?
Yeah.
Or even just
okay, western. Southeastern and southwestern.
Yeah. Western gets me up in Shandaken and Hardenburg.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully housing squirrels.
Exactly. Well, they need housing too.
They'll tell you.
Sorry,
that.
Jim.
We'll tell them that they need housing.
But they need to take good care of our
children. Okay.
Okay. And then in the fourth whereas, where it said located in the southern half, change that to be the eastern southern half and western southern half. Southeast.
Yeah.
Southeast and southwest. And we should define, we've defined in this what you would call the southwest. I'm sorry, southeast, excuse me. We should also define the southeast, right?
I think that the southeast was pretty well defined below 299. Yeah, I think that
Okay, so southeast.
So we're changing southern to southeastern.
And southeastern, and we're adding an and southwestern.
Okay.
Which is defined as
the other side of the ridge.
Well, it could be Marbletown, Rochester, and Ellen.
Right, that would
be
Marbletown, Rochester, and Worsing.
209 corridor.
Okay.
So we're saying end southwestern Ulster County as defined as the 209 corridor.
Mm-hmm.
That is the language you would like.
Okay.
The
last whereas.
Okay.
I think the third to the last whereas says southern half. I think that is fine because that includes both southeast and southwest. We're not to modify that one, right? The last whereas, where it says in the southern half, should make that southern, actually, we're fine, but southern half includes both southeast and southwest. We don't have to change it. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Then in the resolve, though, we do want to change that. The warming center facility be established in and operated in both the southeastern half and southwestern half.
I would say regions.
So, okay, southeastern yeah. region and southwestern region.
Yeah, that's just right. to be really
yep, that makes more sense.
Clear.
Deputy Kudrick.
For expectation setting, under the resolve, it said Ulster County shall pursue all available reimbursements, including but not limited to Code Blue. And it states earlier that there's 20 million available across the state mm-hmm. and that we get 1 million. That is true. And that means that we already get 1/20th of the allocation. So I just want to make sure, I don't know if Commissioner Iaposa, if you want to elaborate on this, on the likelihood of getting additional. I don't know if that's possible. So just for expectation setting, you know, we may not get more than what we already have, in which case any further spending would be county spending. But we can try. Mm-hmm.
Around expectation setting, what Deputy Executive Contreras said is accurate. We're probably one of about only 10 counties right now out of 60 counties that continues to operate even a single warming center. And that's the reason why we get 1/20th of the state's allocation. It costs close to $1 million to operate a warming center. Our allocation is based on historical spending. So when we first started a warming center in the winter of 2014-15, before there was even a Code Blue executive order, the cost was $40,000. It has risen dramatically over the last 10 years because of the services that are provided. I can't even predict whether or not we would be able to, in an initial year, arrive at getting an increase in our allocation. We're already getting a significant allocation. And to operate several warming centers in one county would be somewhat unprecedented because of what the Code Blue executive order provides for. So certainly in terms of the resolution and policy setting and exploring, you know, the potential of being able to do that, you know, we can pursue it, but it might be at significant county cost. We have not ever spent any county money on our warming center over the last 10 years because we were able to demonstrate spending that supported this allocation. And this is an allocation that counties obviously compete for. So the fact that we've been able to sustain a warming center over 10 consecutive years is the reason why we get that allocation. And then just an additional point of consideration in terms of not the resolution, but the realistic ability to arrive at locating in two other regions. Most municipal zoning codes prohibit the activities and services in a congregate setting. So there's very limited locations, even though there might be the belief that there are many locations. When you do a closer examination in connection with what the zoning code defines as permissible activity, operating a warming center in a congregate setting includes services that most zoning codes prohibit. So that's why you're really limited in most scenarios to faith-based properties, which under their mission can provide services that a warming center offers in a congregate setting. And that's why it's so challenging. Having had the warming center here in Kingston at three different faith-based locations over 10 years, and having searched for a location in Ellenville for several years, this is something that there's a lot of support for and a lot of enthusiasm behind, but meeting the requirements can often be extremely difficult. So I just offer that as some experience around actually being able to locate a warming center.
Thank you.
You know, no one ever said this is going to be easy. The three of us and our other sponsors are looking forward to getting this done with our partners in the county exec's office and our partners in the towns that want to get this done. I'm sure all of us could put our heads together with Chairman Iaposi and find a way to get this done without taking any resources away from the Kingston area.
I've got two ideas right now that we should flesh out.
I do have a question too on the zoning code. My understanding is municipalities as a county is not subject to local zoning code laws, and we can, is that not the case? I'm going to talk to Director Doyle.
There is something called a balancing of public interest test.
Yeah.
I think the real question is whether or not you're still subject to law. Somebody's going to have to tell you you're not.
Okay.
You know, it's not our call. It's the municipality's call.
Okay.
And then the next question is, are you paying for the service? And how do you pay for the service, and who's delivering that service, which may change your immunity. For example, if you contracted with another agency, are you actually exempt or not?
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion on this resolution?
You need the motion to make those amendments. Oh.
So is need a motion to amend?
I'll make a motion to amend. I'll second.
All in favor? Okay. I need a motion to approve as amended.
Make a motion to approve as amended.
Second by much later, you call it. All in favor? Aye. Okay, onward.
Can I just add one more thing then?
Absolutely.
Collins, I want to thank you all for getting this done tonight. If, Mike, you could send myself and the sponsors a copy of the cleaned up,
yep,
amended version, I'd appreciate that. And I look forward to working with all of you to bring in more services down to the southern part of the county, including, I think what we should focus on next is mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have issues down south, and I think they should be addressed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution 17, amending the 2025 Ulster County budget to accept allocation of rental assistance program funds from the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance for the Shelter Arrears Eviction Forestallment, SAEF program. I guess that's pronounced SAFE. Department of Social Services. Is there a motion to discuss? Motion to adopt. Thank you. We don't do discuss. We do adopt.
I'll move to adopt.
Okay. Second by McCullough. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 18. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $100,000 entered into by the County and Family of Woodstock, Inc., Department of Social Services. This is to increase the contract in the operation of Darmstadt and Family Inn by $100,000. Total contract would now be $2.5 million as opposed to $2.4 million signed. I do have some questions on this. My understanding of this contract is that any approval must be requested before they spend the money, according to contracts, and they've already spent it as far as I can tell. And the other question I have is, I guess that's the main question, is the contracts say that they must come to the executive for approval before they actually allocate the money and spend the money. We're now basically giving the money that they spent last year. Correct? This is for a 2024 timeframe.
Can I respond to
that? Please, yes.
So that's not exactly accurate. We've been invoiced for money under the contract that is beyond the not to exceed.
Yeah.
We haven't spent it yet. The reason for the request under a resolution to increase the contract is so that we don't satisfy and pay the invoice without having the contract increased, so that we're in compliance.
Awesome.
You haven't paid it yet. The fact that we received an invoice that alerted us to that we were exceeding the contract amount is why we're offering a resolution to increase the contract amount so we can satisfy the invoice. So it hasn't been paid yet.
I understand that
the actual contract says costs in excess of the above amount may not be incurred without prior written authorization of the executive or the purchasing director. So if they've incurred the costs without coming to approval, then they haven't done that, right? They can't know
that they're going to exceed the cost based on what the capacity will be for placements. So that has always been a fluid aspect. We haven't paid the costs. I just don't know that there's any practical way to do that before it arrives at happening.
So the contract
calls for them submitting monthly reports of, in this particular case, people in the shelter. Could they not look at those reports and project that they need to spend more than what the contract says?
I don't think that you can, because you get your monthly report at the end of the month. So when we receive the report at the end of December, we could make a prediction, but we're not going to know what January brings. Emergency housing needs are fluid, and our emergency homeless population fluctuates month to month, so we don't have the information ahead of time.
Let's let her know.
Yes, thank you. On this point, I think that
where it might come together is that the county does want these facilities providing these services, but there's a requirement that you're reading for a certain kind of paperwork. And I think that requirement would give the county some leverage. I'm not a lawyer, but I think that language would give the county some leverage if something were wildly out of line with what DSS is asking these shelters to do, because they're involved with it in an ongoing way. So perhaps we could have council look at revising that language. It's my understanding that that's been there for a long time and it hasn't caused a problem. There may be somebody now requesting or requiring that there be a piece of paper when the contract says there's a should be a piece of paper, and that makes sense. But I agree with what Director Iapochi is saying, that it could introduce a hardship into the system that would serve no one. We've never been charged to a level that the county, as far as I'm aware, been charged to a level that it caused a problem for the county. We want those people in those places instead of at the warming center or on the street.
I recognize that, but I also recognize that if you're planning services, they know how much they budgeted for. If it looks like they're exceeding that budget, they can figure that out probably September and October, November, instead of waiting until the end of the year, in January. And they can come to us earlier and let us know. And obviously, I'm not going to say no to this, right? I'm not going to vote no on this particular thing. But I do want to understand, you know, we have a fiduciary responsibility to understand what's happening with us. And if I was a normal business and someone came to me and said, oh, I spent more money than you told me to spend, I'd ask why and how. And I think that we have a responsibility to that to it too. It's like, you have projections, you know what you're supposed to be doing. You know how many people you can house for that money that we've already allocated. When you get close to that, it look like you're going to exceed that, come to us in November. Come to us in, you know, October. That's all I'm saying.
I think we were within a small percentage margin of our predicted not to exceed. This is not a dramatic over.
It's 4%. So it's not
right. So, and again, based on the fluidity of this particular service and the nature of the weather patterns that we had in December, there's a lot of dynamics involved. And I think we're able to come remarkably close to what we asked for. And I think we're providing very accurate information on why it exceeded the not to exceed. And within a very short time frame, we're making this request to amend the contract. So I don't think it's happening in a manner that's, you know, not consistent with fiscal protocols and responsibility. Now, part of the challenge with the emergency homeless population is that it can, you know, change day to day. We track it day to day, every day. And I mean, I wouldn't have a comfort level predicting today on February 6th what I think the rest of the month might look like. And I've been involved in tracking this for 14 years. So the fact that, you know, we traditionally requested by resolution to increase these contracts that are very closely monitored by relatively small amounts, you know, perhaps we can revisit the contract and amend that particular requirement. I think there's other language in the contract that we are in compliance with around when this happens. But, you know, I would certainly welcome any kind of further review, you know, to get this down to under 1%. That's what our goal is here. But we have to have some degree of flexibility because we're in a situation where, you know, we cannot not provide this service. So, and we can in September, October, or November, know what December is going to look like. I have to say that. We just can't. That's not doable.
Could be.
Yeah, and just for scale, if my math is correct, this 100,000 may come out to around like an extra 33 people that were unpredicted or even less than that needing emergency shelter for a month. So when you think that the number of people who need emergency housing vacillates between, you know, 400 and 500 a month, it's a small overage, and it would be hard to predict.
I just don't want to set up an unreasonable expectation that we can start to make predictions of that nature, because I just don't see an approach that would allow us to do that.
Okay. I mean, I understand too.
As a matter of policy, the flip side of saying that they should be able to predict is that you could build in estimates that you think are 5 or 10 or 15 or 20% higher than what they need, and then they wouldn't run into this problem. But then we'd have those monies committed in a way that, you know, is, I don't think, balances out as opposed to these small numbers. So
that's actually an excellent point, because that's what we did many years ago, but that approach resulted in that we were over budgeting. Mm-hmm. And when we weren't meeting the not to exceed the contracts, the review of those contracts suggested that we had to reduce the amount of the contract we were entering into, and that if we did exceed for services, we would, by resolution, request an increase. So it's just a sort of a shift of perspective and approach. We could do this contract for $3 million, end up spending 2.7, and then, you know, we would be vulnerable to potentially identifying contracts that were inflating.
Mm-hmm.
So we do really monitor very closely these expenditures year to year, so that we try to come within, again, very small percentages.
I guess I'd just be happy if the language of the contract didn't say what it said. And that, because I get the point, you know, but it says they cannot incur the expenses until they've got approval. That's what it legally says. So if there's some other way we can change that contract to say something like, you know.
Within 30 days. I also want to point out that during 2024, we did an increase for the per diem rates. And that there was an amendment earlier in 2024. So that also plays a part into it. Because we budgeted the initial amount without that increase. We did the amendment, and it just went over based on the number of per diems we had.
And that's all understandable. And I'm done talking about this. I'm ready for...
Well, could we get a commitment from the executive's
office to look at the language in the contract and maybe come up with something that allows for an overage to be paid, but then reviewed, and so that we get the accountability that this language is trying to get, but without putting the either the vendor or the DSS itself in the position of having to make guesses that aren't easy to make. And maybe build in a little bit more, because I think if you're hitting within 5%, that's very good. And I wouldn't have any problem with the contract being a little higher so that it covers that.
Or just say that, to say anything under 5% can be reimbursed without prior approval. Something like that. I mean, whatever it is, just something that, you know.
Right. Yeah, we could take a look at that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? I'm going to say legislator McCullough. Nope. Yeah. I saw your hand first. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Right. Okay, resolution 19. Amending the 2025 to 2030 Capital Improvement Program. Amending Capital Project Number 677 Golden Hill Transportation Improvements. Amending the 2025 Ulster County Operating Budget. Amending the 2025 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. This is looking for an additional $564,597. And the capital fund appropriations for the Golden Hill project. Questions? I do have a question. I'd like to have Director Doyle walk me through the numbers, if that's okay.
Sure. What ends up happening here is that the amendment basically is for the signal at the corner of Route 32 and Golden Hill Drive. The numbers are essentially you'll see the next resolution, which is a contract between Jory Construction, which is a bid contract. There's additional funding outside of that contract as a contingency. So if we have additionals with respect to that, we wouldn't have to come back. It would be in there, and there's an additional money in that ASB for construction inspection. We now have a bid for construction inspection, which is $49,500. The additional amount of that contract that was put in was for $50,000 for construction inspection. That's how you get to the total that we're requesting for that additional.
Okay. Questions? Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Awesome.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Resolution 20. Approving the execution of a contract for $489,579 entered into by the County Jewelry Excavation, Inc. and Department of Public Works. My one question is, it's a different number than the previous one, and that's, I believe Director Doyle said there are additional funds. Is that
that's the difference? The reason for the difference.
Okay. Is there a motion?
No.
So I
know it's that,
Senator, this is federal funds. Are we confident that, everything will be okay with that?
No. It's a short
answer. I just had to point that out. 39%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now is there a motion?
So many motions to be made, Jim.
So many. Senator Clinton?
Yes, I'll second this one.
You'll second that one?
Sure.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Resolution number 21. I do hope that we're entertaining y'all. All in favor of Resolution 20.
Aye.
Aye. Resolution 21, approving the execution of a contract for $20,000 entered into the County Golden Hill Owner LLC Department of Planning. Director Doyle, can you explain this, please?
Sure. In the discussion in terms of the improvements that were necessary for Golden Hill, the signal looked at was partly the county's responsibility and partly Penrose as a developer's responsibility. This effectively says that Penrose had made the promise in an email. The legislature prior accepted that promise in an email. This now puts that in contractual language that Penrose will essentially reimburse the county for $300,000, a minimum of $300,000 relative to the cost of that signal as promised originally. If you look at the contract, the other piece of that contract is, remember, the
question that legislator McCullough asked relative to the use of federal funds. There is additional federal funding. We negotiated with Penrose. There's an additional federal funding that Penrose would give us in addition to the $300,000, should those monies survive, to make the total reimbursement to Ulster County $500,000. So given what we just went through with respect to the cost of that signal, the county would be able to recoup, assuming that the federal funds come through, up to $500,000 of that cost.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Is there a motion to?
Motion.
Nicola, second? All in favor? Okay, resolution 22, approval of the execution of a contract for $679,100 entered into by the county, Penrose, New York, Developer LLC, Department of Planning. Director Doyle.
Sure. Again, this relates to the congressional directed funding. We have $1 million that allocated to this project. Out of that $1 million, Penrose developers would get $679,000 or whatever that number is. Of that funding through a sub-recipient agreement. If there is no federal funds available, they get no money. And the way this is set up, the contract is set up that the reimbursement to Penrose depends upon the funds hitting Ulster counties, and then it's passed through from Ulster County to Penrose. So we don't know whether that money is going to actually materialize, but this essentially allows us to pay Penrose as a sub-recipient.
Got it.
Do we have any idea
what the impact on Penrose will be if the federal money does not come through on this at this level?
Well, the monies would be used to essentially make water supply improvements to the City of Kingston's water system. The City of Kingston's water system exists on Marius Street, which is just below Golden Hill. It actually is pumped up. There's a pump station there that pumps water into the county's tank on Golden Hill. We are what is known as a subsequent water supply system. Absent those improvements, the project can't meet necessary fire flows associated, and there's other issues associated with that, particularly with respect to fire flows with regard to the project. So these improvements have been designed. There's actually work ongoing right now in order for them to meet the requirements for them to essentially be able to occupy the buildings. There's lead times with respect to the pumps, generators, et cetera, that's here. So the impact is going to be additional cost to Penrose that they'll have to borrow money against, I presume. But they're committed to the project and we'll work on it. You know, we'll do what we have to do to make it go forward. They have not made any additional requests to Ulster County for funding.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I see a motion? Clinton? Chris? All in favor?
All tied.
Okay, resolution 23, authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with the New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation, represented by the Office of Community Renewal, for federal funding for the implementation of community development block grants, CDBG, homeownership program, amending the 2025 Ulster County budget, Department of Planning. Director Doyle.
So I believe this is $650,000.
That is correct.
This is essentially a grant application that we submitted. There is a sub-recipient here with respect to RUPCO. If the resolution says homeownership program, it should be amended to housing rehabilitation program.
Yes, housing
rehabilitation. That's what it says in the resolution. Yeah.
The title says homeownership.
Yeah, the title should be amended to say housing rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. My apologies for that.
That could just be considered a typo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Housing rehabilitation.
Yes, it's housing rehabilitation program. And this amends the 2025 budget. In the B portion of the budget, so it's a pass-through. We pass through this money relative to drawdowns from HCR, and that gets passed through and paid to RUPCO. You're going to see a contract in March between the county and RUPCO, which will sort of flesh out this relationship. We've done this for probably $13 million through RUPCO in terms of CDBG money. So it's not something that we're unfamiliar with and have to.
Okay. Discussion? Motion? Second? Virgin? All in favor? Okay, resolution 24, authorizing chair, authorizing Ulster County executive to execute a contract with the New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation, represented by the Office of Community Renewal, for federal funding for the implementation of community development block grant CDBG infrastructure program, amending the 2025 Ulster County budget, Department of Planning, Director Doyle.
So this is a community development block grant planning grant, as differentiated from some of the capital discussions we were just having, right? So what this does is essentially it allows us to do some planning work with respect to mobile home parks. I think there's two mobile home parks in the county. We're going to do some preliminary engineering relative to their water supply systems, which are at risk. We've had some conversations with the health department in choosing those mobile home parks. So that's how this arrives. And because it's a planning grant, it amends the county planning department's budget and puts the money in the planning department's budget. We'll do a professional service contract for that. You won't see that contract because it's less than $50,000.
Okay. The mobile home parks are throughout the county. Are there specific ones we're targeting?
One is in, I'd like to say, Platico. We've been going back and forth. We had two that wanted to participate, and then one of them dropped out.
Okay.
So I'd like to say there's only two, and one of them, I believe, is in Esopus, and the other one, I believe, is in Platico, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
Because that one's been changing.
Okay. Discussion?
I'm more than willing to share that with the committee.
So, when you find out. Yeah. Discussion? Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Please, Harmon. McCullough, second. All in favor? Okay, resolution 39. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Transportation to accept New York State funds for Ulster and Dutchess County Public Transit Service, LINC, Department of Public Transportation, Ulster County Area Transit. I am looking for Anthony. Thank you. Deputy Director.
Tony with a Y. This is an annual contract with NYSDOT. UCAT runs two dedicated services, our Kingston-Poughkeepsie link and our Ulster-Poughkeepsie link. And NYSDOT reimburses us for our inter-county travel. We run into Dutchess County every day of the week, specifically the Metro North train station. And they reimburse us for revenue miles, passengers. They reimburse us for wages, maintenance, fuel on the vehicles, and so on and so forth. They reimburse us for everything that has to do with that particular, those two particular routes.
Questions from the committee? Is there a motion? Clinton, second. Grace Harmon. All in favor? Aye. Okay, my pile of paper is over, so do I have any new business? Any old business?
So
we're going to, let me get to you first, next legislator, Nolan. Director Doyle.
So I brought Kai Lord Farmer here. Kai is a planning specialist for housing within the planning department. He has two things he wants to talk to you about. One has to do with where we are in terms of housing units that have been approved. And two is in our infamous luck, we've now have got another grant with respect to housing work. So you can talk to him about that.
So I think last year Tyler Farmer, Open County Planning Department, if anyone doesn't remember. Legislator Collins, you asked for this kind of pipeline of future.
Yeah.
We're going to lose UCAT, and my issue is related to them. Could we just jump back in?
First and come out, okay?
Yeah.
Congrats, Dan.
No, I think it's going to be short, but I do want to say it.
Tony, you're in the way of the panel.
No, so, oh, sorry.
I got another job.
We'll just take a sec. As the chair of the Capital Works, DPW committee, which had transportation in 2024, we did interviews for the Transit Riders and Intermodal Advisory Committee, which is a group of people that are interested in UCAT and UCAT services and other transportation services in the county. Because of transportation coming to this committee in 2025, with discussions with the chair, our thought is that that committee, which is an advisory committee, should be constituted to report to this committee. And so we would request that UCAT participate with that committee through this committee, which is what the other Tony had been planning to do through the Public Works, Capital Projects, and Transportation Committee when it was that. So the plan would be for Chair Collins and myself to submit a resolution for March that would appoint the members of the committee and for the committee to start meeting in March. And the plan had been that the committee would meet generally on the days of the committee meetings, either before or after, depending upon timing. So if that works out with these changes, then that would be the plan for next month.
If that's what Tony liked to do, I'm all for it. I'm 100% in.
Just
yeah.
Appreciate you carrying that message about those changes.
Of course, yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, back to senior planner.
Ward Farmer. So I think last year, Legislator Collins, you had asked for a kind of pipeline of future development projects. And then we also put together essentially every affordable housing project in existence in the county already. So kind of present affordable housing, which there are 2,873 units of affordable housing that exist right now, all with different timelines to what they call an exit year, so exiting sort of affordability, and those are generally in the 2030s and 2040s, which is good to see with a couple that are coming out of affordability in 2024 and 2026.
Those are currently existing?
Currently existing, but ending their initial affordability period. That doesn't mean that they won't find additional financing or renegotiate the deal to further the affordability. But some of them do come out of affordability, which is a bit of a concern. So we always want to keep those in mind and pay attention to them. But from last year, we have 7 new projects that went from approval into construction. That account for probably around 500 units. And I want to say maybe 150 to 200 of those are affordable. And some of those are the ones that the county is supporting through the Housing Action Fund. So Ulster County Habitat for Humanity Project in Saugerties, the Jeffrey Court Project is under construction, Harmony Hall Senior Affordable Rental Project in the Village of New Falls is under construction. Family Woodstock's Washington Homes, which is temporary supportive housing, is under construction. The Villages in Hudson Valley, which is market rate with 10% affordable, is under construction in Lloyd. Silver Gardens in Lloyd is also under construction. The Barrel Factory, which is in the city of Kingston, which has 15% affordable, is under construction. Golden Hill site is under construction. And there's one more. Quality Inn is under construction as well, too.
Okay.
So quite a bit has changed just in terms of the what's gone from approvals to under construction with varying move-in dates, but exciting to see movement.
Okay. That's great.
General. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Legislator Nolan.
So if I heard you right, the number of affordable units that would be added from those seven new projects would be 150 to 200 units.
I'm just doing the math on the fly here. So
There's Quality Inn, I thought, had a larger number that
make that number larger. There it is. Oh, that should be under construction. 83 units for Quality Inn. Can do the math right now. 61 for Harmony Hall, which is all affordable. Another 47 for Washington Homes. Another 10 for Habitat for Humanity. Another 57 for Silver Gardens. 164 for Golden Hill. Another 10 for the Barrel Factory, and then another 30 for Village and Hudson Valley.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving us the exact figures on it. And then, so that's really good news. Because that's much closer to the number of people we currently serve each month unhoused. Are there any other projects that are on the horizon that are not in construction that would add to that number?
Let me just try to read through here. You know, like pending approval and even approved don't always materialize, as we know. But actually, that is kind of the majority of the fully affordable projects. The rest of the projects that are coming online are multifamily, but only with a percentage of affordable coming down the line.
So that'll be smaller numbers.
So this is the bulk of the new affordable units.
There are two projects in New Paltz that have a 15% affordability on Route 32. They're fairly small, or less than 100 units. And then there's one south of the village, which is required annex, that just completed its seeker determination that they still have a ways to go, but that also has a 15% affordability requirement associated with it.
So maybe another 50 or 60?
Yeah. That's safe to say.
The New Paltz ones are under construction.
Mm-hmm. New Paltz apartments,
Leslie McCauley.
Are those units lottery?
It all depends on the project, but most of them are getting federal or state funding, so those are lottery. The City of Kingston, so like Golden Hill Project, City of Kingston has a preference policy, so it is a lottery, but it will be prioritized for people living in Kingston, people who were formerly living in Kingston or were displaced or who work in Kingston or are victims of domestic violence or people with disabilities.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else on that? I'd like to talk to this committee at some point, maybe offline, about doing some tours. I think that would be a good thing for us, and we'll just talk offline instead of doing that here. I'd like to visit some of the facilities and some of the planned facilities, just so we have a better sense of what's happening and what exists now. We'll schedule that separately from this. Anything else? Do we have a motion to adjourn? McCullough, second. Grace Harmon. All in favor. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.